So your official title is director of TV and film for the city of Atlanta.
Yeah, director for the Mayor's Office of Film, Entertainment, and Nightlife for the city of Atlanta.
Oh.
However, yeah, we just added Nightlife about a year or so ago.
Okay.
But I oversee all things film. So any productions that film in the city, you know, going scouts.
So no one's filming here without, I mean, technically, no, one's filming here without your permission.
Absolutely.
That's, wait, let him just stare at her for a minute. Like, if you're trying to film in Atlanta, this is, you don't have to go to LinkedIn. Here she is right here.
I'm right here.
This is who you get the permission from.
Yeah, you go to lifeonpodcast.com to get to her.
Yeah,
right?
So you do all the permitting, the licensing, and all of that stuff.
Yeah, so whenever you want to film in the city of Atlanta, you must stop by our office. I have a small but mighty team, and I'm going to shout them out. LaShawn Cook and Malcolm Twyman. But we are the ones that move the blockbuster productions around the city of Atlanta to film.
So back to what I was saying.
What's up, what's up, what's up, friends, family, and fans? Welcome to Life on Podcast. This is where we listen and inspire friends in entertainment.
And everywhere.
Yeah, because life happens to everyone. We are here with my good friend, Cardelia Hunter. Welcome, welcome, welcome. So you guys know our history. Do you remember how we met?
Had to be in the music industry. And long time ago. That's right. Long time ago.
Yeah, because you started in music, right?
I started in music.
All right, so take us kind of how you got into entertainment, if you will.
By the grace of God. No, really. I started in working for L.A. Reid's publishing company, Hitco Music Publishing. Right?
That's right. So, shout out. Rest in peace, Shakir Stewart.
Rest in peace, Shaky Flake. Pop that collar.
Shaky Flake.
And so that's where I started. I started working in the industry by the way of a young lady, LaRonda Sutton, who brought me into the industry, or should I say introduced me to the industry, because fast forward to where I'm at now, it was also because of
LaRonda
bringing me in.
Relationships.
Absolutely.
Man, we talk about that a lot.
Relationships are everything.
So you weren't in music before Hitco?
No, I wasn't.
What did you do before Hitco?
I was working in the wire and cable industry for a company called Anixter. I had just moved to...
That was her target job.
Yeah.
Well, my target job was in the middle of my industry career.
Okay.
Hers was like, know who else was like that? Do you remember Jeannie Weems from ASCAP?
Absolutely.
She was total corporate.
Yes.
Before she came in and was running ASCAP. Yes. So that's interesting. So how did you know LaRonda in order for that to even happen? And did you want to be in music all this time?
So it's so funny because I met LaRonda. We have a very mutual friend named Wendy. Okay. And me and Wendy went to Grambling together. And after I graduated from Grambling, shout out, the Grambling State University, I went back home for about a year. And I was like, I had a daughter. I didn't want to raise her in L.A.
Is that where you're
from? Prayed on, born and raised.
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah. We just, I didn't want to raise her there. And I wanted to raise her, after being in Grambling, seeing all the beautiful brown people, I was like, I need to raise her somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Something I prayed on, because once I graduated, I got back into my church. And I was just like, Lord, where are we going? You know, I don't want to raise her here. California was expensive. I wasn't going to stay with my mom. Mm-hmm. So I was like, what are we doing? And, you know, you heard that spirit say, you know, you're going to Atlanta. Okay, I had never been here.
Wow. Why Atlanta over Chicago or D.C.?
Now, let me tell you, because at the time... Well, I can't say why over, but this is where he sent me.
What?
So, but I love Chicago. And I've only got a taste of D.C. a little bit.
Okay.
But I think Atlanta just felt right, too, because I had been to school in the South.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I had some girlfriends here.
There you go.
So I told them I was coming. They didn't believe me. All of a sudden, they started seeing my boxes come. They was like, oh, snap, she's on her way.
What year is this?
That was 94, so I'm not in none of the Freaknik.
I only got here two years prior.
Not gonna find Auntie in the videos or the documentary.
Auntie will not be there, not at all. Price her friends, but not me. And so, at the time, LaRonda, I believe, might have been working for Chrysalis.
Okay. Publishing. Yeah.
And so she would come back and forth because she was in the process of signing Outkast.
Okay.
And so when she would come, we'd go to the airport and pick her up. And so that's how we kind of met. And she was here, probably. Here in Atlanta more than LA. Mm-hmm. And so we spent a lot of time, and she's just the one who introduced me to the industry.
Wow.
And when she started running Hitco Music Publishing, you know, she was kind of looking for an assistant. I knew nothing about the industry.
Right.
I didn't have any industry relationships, but I'm probably about to tell my age because Microsoft was becoming a thing.
I mean, you already said 94, so we guesstimate.
I could have been 12. But and so that's when she introduced me to it, and she, you know, she was looking for somebody, and I was like, well, I don't know about any music industry, but I know a little Microsoft Office. I thought I was a good admin, mm-hmm. and she blessed me with the position.
Wow.
And the rest is history.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
As I we talk about sometimes, because you can, it's good to plan, right? Like,
absolutely.
It's good to say, this is what I'm going to do, and da-da-da-da-da. But I'll be honest with you. I mean, my math might be off by 99% of the time, though. It does not go that way.
No, absolutely.
You just have to stay malleable. Yeah.
I stopped planning, and I just started trusting the process. I just started honing into my skills, and never in your wildest dreams. That's how I know these steps was ordered. I was not a kid who went to school, you know, young or as an adult and said, you know what, I want to be in the entertainment industry.
Right.
Now, I was around a lot of people. I went to school with O'Shea Jackson, a.k.a. Ice Cube. Mm-hmm. I went to school with Niecy Nash, but that wasn't anything that I was interested in.
Right.
So I do believe that where I'm at right now is because this is where the good Lord wanted me to
be. One of the conversations that I like to have is when you look back over your lifetime, you can kind of see that there were some little Easter eggs kind of letting you know.
Yes.
Going to school with certain people or being around it. When you look back, can you see some of those points that if you would have just paid closer attention to it, you might have saw where you were heading to?
You know what? Absolutely. When I look back at it, just because of who I am. I'm that people person. You know, I can get along well. I've always taken my job serious of service, right? Because to be in this industry, when you work for someone, whether it's your clients or whether it's that film industry, you are serving them. Mm-hmm. And after I left Hitco, I came on with Enlight Entertainment.
With Tasha. So you went from Hitco to Enlight?
Yes.
Why am I? I've known this woman
for like in the same
20 office. Some odd years.
Absolutely.
You've been a better friend to him than he's been to you. He ain't paying attention. That's all that is. He
just we're going to shoot that down.
We're going to shoot that down. But no, he was Stone and
right,
Natasha Enlight. Was
so when I was at Sony in the Sony building, and
absolutely.
Then you were with Tasha Enlight.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
That is awesome. But you said something that I don't want to gloss over. Service. And the reason why is because in this industry, though, you think about it, this industry really is all about me.
Correct.
I, right? Your brand and stuff like that. But really, it's the ones that have a servant, what can I do for you heart, that people actually, even if it's subconsciously, they actually seek those people out.
Absolutely.
Because you got to remember that, right? We are our own number one first need, right? Mm-hmm. We look after each other first. So when you have someone who's serving, that means they're always looking for what you need. And that just makes you in demand.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So that's awesome. That makes perfect sense then why everybody was snatching you up.
Oh, yeah. You know, because that's what I knew. I knew at an early age on that I didn't work for myself. I work for the man up above. So that's why every time I show up 100% because it's not for anybody around me. It's for the person who put me in this position, and why he keeps elevating me is because, you know, I just stay true to him. Y'all don't really want me to get this testimony going because, honestly, I've said this, I believe, before to you all, to you and Tasha. You guys are very instrumental into where I'm at right now on my walk of faith. Mm. You guys introduced me to a whole lot, and I got to see it firsthand between you two.
Yeah.
So,
I appreciate
you know,
that.
You just never know what the effects are of of what you give out to people.
This is true. Yeah. Big facts. Well, thanks for that. That was good to hear.
A little shout out. Give a little
I appreciate that. Yeah, needed to hear that right now because, you know, getting papers in the mail. I'm just kidding.
That first job when you got into it, I mean, you say you brought your Microsoft Office and Excel and all of that cool stuff from the admin side. What was the skill that you had to learn first? When you realize the music industry is a little bit different
yeah.
Ooh, I had to learn the people, the egos. There were a lot of different egos. And so learning, studying, being quiet was one of the first things that I had to learn coming to this industry. Because I was never starstruck or, you know, I went
never?
To work. No, I'm sorry. I went to work and then I was ready to go because I had my friends at home.
Right.
If I had to go to an event, I would go to the event. But, you know, for me, I looked at it as, you know, a job that would be able to feed me and my daughter while at the same time getting some cool perks. Now, was I shocked and proud at the same time to see what Atlanta had to offer in the industry back in, you know, the mid-90s. Absolutely.
Right.
It was just a beautiful thing, and I was so glad to be a part of it. And, you know, I was a part of the producers and the writers who made the money, or should I say who made the hits to make the money. So that's what infatuated me, because, you know, as a kid and stuff, you grow up, you just see who the artist is in front performing. Right. And I never had a clue of really what went into that song behind scenes.
Right.
So I was just glad to be able to work with some really talented people who put
big
out
folks.
Some hits. Yeah, some big, big folks from, you know, Organized Noise with Waterfall.
Beyonce over there.
Beyonce, Dent, Survivor.
You know, like Diddy's people. Like Shakespeare. Big folks. Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, some really,
that's dope.
Some really big people. And then just to be able to, you know, get on the phone like with Beanie Siegel's manager to help clear samples.
Right.
And, you know, it was just, it was perfect for that time.
Sorry, Flo. Enlight Entertainment. To where?
Going home to be a real mom to my.
So you took a little bit of a
family.
Break.
I took a break out of the industry. I wear all kind of hats, so you know, I went and got my cosmetology license because I wanted to own a hair salon. So I figured I better know, you know, how to do hair to do it.
That'd be nice.
Worked in the medical field. Worked in the medical field a little bit, and everywhere I worked, whatever I touched, I was really great at it. So even when I maneuvered around to try to figure it out, it was kind of hard because I was like, no, I could do this. Mm. I could do this. And then years later, then I came into the Atlanta Mayor's Office of Film and Entertainment for the City of Atlanta.
And how did that happen?
Once again, you know, have
LaRonda.
To give props where props is due is when LaRonda asked me if I wanted to come in and work temporary part-time. And I still had my salon, so I was like, sure. But at this time, it was starting the natural hair movement. And so most of my clients wore the silk press because we're from California. Mm. But then they wanted to be able to do their own natural hair. So I did see a decline.
So natural hair in the hair industry was like,
CDs
Napster
when
in the music industry.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Napster. You get it? Yeah. Boom, boom, psh. Yeah, y'all missed that. Y'all missed that.
Y'all don't see no naps right here. That's all natural.
No, okay, all right. So now, all right. So now, so your official title is Director of TV and Film for the City of Atlanta.
Yeah, Director for the Mayor's Office of Film, Entertainment, and Nightlife for the City of Atlanta.
Oh.
However, yeah, we just added Nightlife about a year or so ago.
Okay.
But I oversee all things film. So any productions that film in the city, you know, going scouts.
So no one's filming here without, I mean, technically, no one's filming here without your permission.
Absolutely.
That's, wait. Let him just stare at her for a minute. Like, if you're trying to film in Atlanta, this is, you don't have to go to LinkedIn. Here she is right here.
I'm right here.
This is who you get
the permission from. Yeah, you go to lifeonpodcast.com to get to her.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. So you do all the permitting, the licensing, and all of that stuff.
Yeah, so whenever you want to film in the City of Atlanta, you must stop by our office. I have a small but mighty team, and I'm going to shout them out. LaShawn Cook and Malcolm Twyman, but we are the ones that move the blockbuster productions around the City of Atlanta to film.
Now, question, do you guys also, the big incentive thing, everybody knows about the incentives that come down through the state, the city level also has some. Does that pass through you too?
So for the city, we do not have an incentive yet.
Okay.
I'm in the process of working on a fee schedule study, which I would like to introduce a local tax incentive for the City of Atlanta.
So that kind of answered my question then, because I was going to say, because you think Atlanta, but when you think film, even though you're talking Atlanta, you're still thinking Georgia.
Think Georgia.
Correct.
So Georgia is a separate thing on the state level? Because didn't Governor Kemp assign you to something like that on state level or something?
Yeah, well, I'm part of his film, arts, culture, entertainment. I don't know if you want
like
to call it a board.
Like an advisory board type of thing?
Okay. Absolutely. Okay. So I've been on that for a few years now, and so I get to know, you know, firsthand what's going on the state level.
So they had their own entertainment division.
Well, they have. So in order to film in the state of Georgia, if you want that tax incentive, you got to go see them first.
Okay.
You got to get your company all set up, fill out your paperwork and everything. And then by the time they do all that, when they come to me, they're ready to film.
Okay.
So either they have their locations or they're looking for locations. They come for us to do, you know, like production meetings, let them know, you know, what it is that they want to do, what they can, what they can't do. We go out on scouts. We're out on sets. We kind of just help them maneuver. We're the one-stop shop to give them concierge service to film in the city of Atlanta.
So what if someone wants to film in... Alpharetta's not in Atlanta. So at Alpharetta, right?
Correct.
So does Alpharetta have their own department?
Alpharetta should have their own. The city of Alpharetta should have their own.
But chances are every city doesn't have their own though, right?
If they don't, they probably just go through their like economic development department or something. Or they're like what is our ATL, Department of Transportation. It might be theirs, a watershed to kind of help maneuver. What's so unique about us is once you come to us, we can help you hit all of our stakeholders. From fire to APD, Parks and Rec, MARTA, anything.
Okay.
You know, we're that one-stop shop to help you maneuver around, even if you want to film at the airport.
All right. I got another one, but get one in.
So the economic impact that filming brings to every individual city is massive, especially when it comes to the city of Atlanta. Does this kind of make you a gatekeeper, so to speak, on how much money can flow through the city, depending on what films are here and how long they're going to be here, where they're shooting? Do you dictate some of that? I mean, this may be a question you probably can't answer.
Yeah, well, I can say this. I don't dictate.
Well, okay, can I throw one thing in there just to kind of clean up what I was asking?
Yeah.
Do you show favoritism to certain producers and companies for where they can and can't shoot?
There's no favoritism.
Okay.
I've been here for 11 years because there is no favoritism.
Right.
I am very firm, no matter how big or how small, because when you come to film here in Atlanta, you know, you represent the mayor when you're filming, which is who I represent when I'm out there issuing permits.
Right.
So we all have to follow the rules. 11 years, I can say we filmed without incident. We shut down major highways for like Baby Driver. We have shut down the 17th Street Bridge for Bad Boys. I think it's 3 for Bad Boys 3.
Answer me this question.
On the helicopter scene.
Did Den of Thieves film here?
They did.
That's why I recognize that thing, and people keep saying, that's not Atlanta. I was like, that's
Atlanta. That's down some B Street for some from Black Panther, too.
Oh,
they had a lot of stuff.
They filmed here. They tore up like White Street area real good.
Tore it up.
You know, shooting, you know. Fake guns, of course, loud.
The reason why I asked the question that way is because you hear smaller production companies talk about the difficulty in permitting in certain cities and getting to the people and all of that. And that's why I was asking that question, just to show that you wanted the good ones. And if you come here, you're going to get a fair shake. And if you need to get the permits, they can get it.
Yeah, I'm one of the good ones. We have a lot of independent filmmakers that come here. So let me tell you this. Our fees are pretty much set in stone. I don't feel like we have high fees. Your fees is when you go out to different locations.
Actually, let's break that down. Let's talk about the fees of what it is.
Yes.
Because a lot of people don't know that there are fees attached to the permit process.
Oh, yeah. You just can't come in and get that permit. I need your fees. I need your license. No, I'm just playing. So, honestly, our fees, the minimum you would pay is $400. And that's a $100 application fee and $300 for that permit. And that permit allows you to film in the city of Atlanta, which is called our monthly permit, and it's calendar days. Okay. However, if you want a lane, street, or sidewalk closure, if you want to film in our parks, if you want to film in some of our government buildings, then your fees continue to go up.
Okay.
Now, we also have student fees, because we have a lot of students that come and film here or with SCAD or Georgia State, and so their fees are much cheaper than just the regular fees. But,
awesome. The fees that are paid, where does that funding go other than paying the salaries of the people
working? Now he's trying to get into our business.
I am. I want to know some funds.
Honestly, our fees go to our general fund.
Okay.
So they don't come back to my department,
okay,
which is one of the reasons why I'm doing the fee schedule, because I would like some of that income to come back to us
sure.
so that we can be able to, you know, get programs going, just get us a car so that we can go out and visit, you know, sites without in our own regular cars.
Oh, there's no city,
I didn't know that.
City vehicle for
that? We don't have a city vehicle for the film office at this time.
Okay.
So that
you're saying it very nicely, but City Atlanta, we're a huge city.
Yeah.
Why we don't have one car?
Yeah.
With
that
deposit.
Is, we need some
now,
perks,
she might
homie.
Not saying it, but I'm saying it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's make that happen. That's not a big ask.
Yeah. And, you know, so we just want to be a little bit more visible.
Okay.
We have so much more to offer than just issuing the permits.
Yeah.
We have this platform called Set South. And it's our community engagement platform, and that's where we like to do different activities and, you know, birth different activations for our community. Hmm. In order to do that, you know, it'd have to be funded.
Mm-hmm. It's Set and South.
So, Set South. Okay. Set South Production. Okay. I mean, Set South community engagement platform, and we also have a website.
Another any of, like, educational platforms that come out of your office, like, you yeah. know, How to Film 101 or something like that? Or
well, I'm proud to say back in 2021, we launched the Set South Production Assistant Training Program.
Oh, okay.
And it was our first one. And when we first announced that we were going to have that program, we had over 700 and some people of interest for
wow.
it. And then we narrowed it down to City of Atlanta proper, now, which was like 400.
To me, that's a lot of people because I've never heard of this. And I like yes. to say that I'm a person that's generally in the know.
Yes.
First time hearing about it. So that's a huge turnout for people that's engaged. Like, how did you quietly but loudly get people interested in wanting to be a part of that?
Well, it was pretty loud because we did a press release and Variety covered it. And okay. then Mayor Bottoms at the time, who was the mayor, you know, when she dropped it on her social media platforms, you know, then everybody heard about it. And then we did it on ours. On
Let
our
me
Set
know.
South.
I just missed it. That's right.
Yeah,
I just,
you just missed
I just
it.
Missed that one.
Yeah,
okay.
yeah.
It happens.
So a PA, production assistant, would that be kind of the equivalent of like an intern or maybe a paid internship?
So it would be the lowest position you can have when you're working on a set.
So that is your getting that's your get your foot in the door
absolutely.
Position.
Yeah. Okay. So it was a 4-week training program, Monday through Friday, where we taught them soft skills as well as hard skills, mm-hmm. as well as hard skills.
Let's talk about this. Hang on, I can't let you blow by that.
Yeah.
You're saying good stuff, though. That's why we keep cutting you off.
There's a difference between these soft and hard skills. And I actually had someone ask me about that last week, and they didn't know the difference between the two. So when yes. we're talking about production, what are some of these soft skills and what were some of the hard
now
skills
this
so
is,
they can define
this is,
what those things are?
But this right. is traditional mainstream. This isn't like the yeah. adult industry film industry. That's hard and soft skills are different there. We're talking about commercial film,
yes,
correct?
Absolutely.
Okay.
We are talking
like
about
this.
I just want to make sure we're clear. Okay, I think I'm speaking to everyone.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So our soft skills were resume writing, teaching them how to interview, how to show up on time.
Oh, Jesus.
How to show up
the
on time.
The fact that that's a skill.
It is.
It's sad.
It's more of a character trait than a skill.
No, it's a skill.
No, I agree. We're at this point, that sucks is a skill now.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, it's a skill.
Golly.
Probably learning how to, you know, read a call sheet and those things.
So a hard skill would be more like what? Now we're getting
learning
to
that walkie-talkie, learning okay. how to lay that cable. Anything that, you know, equipment-wise.
Yeah, I always say the hard skills are the things that are more industry-specific, and then the soft skills are the ones that can generally transfer
right.
absolutely
across industry.
Yeah, I don't
absolutely.
See why. I know everyone's trying to come down and just be the director, blah, blah, blah. But to me, honestly, yeah. That's the first thing I would go for is a PA yeah. system.
Well, a lot of people, only thing they see is the actor or actress in front of the screen,
yeah.
and they know that there's a director. So
right.
they... There's so many amazing, cool jobs behind the scenes, whether you're in costume or makeup and mm-hmm. wardrobe, electrician or grip,
mm-hmm.
Camera.
One of the coolest jobs out there that I think yeah. people look at over time is continuity. And that's just like, literally your job
yeah.
is to watch.
Yes.
Right.
Just make,
sure there's no airplane flying over Braveheart.
Absolutely.
Or when the takes start, just make sure the hat's turned the same way that it was in the last scene when
yeah.
they said cut. Like
yeah.
those look, and that's one of those silent positions that you literally get to see everything.
And this is where people underestimate, because it's not about the job. Mm-hmm. It's about the environment that job puts you in.
Absolutely.
That's the thing. Like, when it comes to entertainment, the goal is to get in.
Absolutely.
Like, seriously. And I mean, it's such a, I'll admit, it's a bit of a closed thing. Like, the goal is to get in. I mean, if you got to take coffee, if they need a new sanitation department, get in, because you get to now see mm-hmm. and have access to everything and everybody, well,
yep.
virtually everybody.
Yep.
But they just see it as the job.
Yeah.
Oh, it's only this. I'm only getting paid this.
Or I'm not going to do that.
Or I'm not going to do
that.
If that
my job
is
description,
you
don't need to be in this field.
Yeah, or change yes. your mindset. The
yeah,
goal is to get in, because it's hard as heck to get in. You
yeah.
just want to get in and then be like Adila
yeah.
and be servant minded and be mm-hmm. excellent at whatever opportunity you have. And it's almost like it drops in your lap. The opportunities mm-hmm. didn't drop in your lap.
Absolutely. Because I can tell you that when I first got into the industry, I was running to the cleaners. I was picking up lunches. You know, I was doing...
Especially when you was at Enlight.
Yeah. I was doing whatever that job caused. And I didn't take it personal. Yeah. I mean, it was just... It made me better, mm-hmm. you know, to who I am today. And even sitting, you know, in this director position... I'll sweep the floors. I'll set the chairs up. I'll check you in. Like, don't let the title wear you. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah.
And everyone might not
you wear the title.
Run around talking about how great Dilla is, right? Mm-hmm. While she's doing those quote unquote seemingly menial things. But the thing is, they're also not talking bad about you.
Correct.
The only thing better than not talking bad about you is no one's talking about you at all.
Yeah.
Anything else.
That's good too. Because the moment you get associated with something, anything bad, oh, that girl lazy. She always got attitude on the phone. Ain't nobody looking out. Nobody looking to hire you.
Nope.
At all. So don't worry about it.
It can actually work both ways too. When people start to associate you, period. Like in my line of work, if I can leave a production and nobody knows my name, I did my job. Perfect.
Yeah.
The first time they find out who I am, something either went terribly wrong and I had to fix it or I broke something.
Yeah.
Right.
So I do. I try to stay as invisible as possible because it allows me to remain in those positions. And then people always say, we want the same exact team.
Right.
When I hear I want the same exact team, I'm hearing I want Johnny Vaughn back.
Yeah.
Because that means everything went the way they needed.
You're right.
He did great
so that goes both ways.
Yeah. Because it's so funny because when every time we have a new mayor come in or administration, that film community call me. Like, what's going on? What we need to do? We need to go talk. You good? We keeping you? And I'm like, yes, I'm good. I'm not going anywhere. While we do a great job with moving productions around, you know, it's a relationship-based
absolutely. Job.
100%.
And so,
always.
You know, I live on the outskirts, but if I come to town and, you know, somebody just, hey, Cardelia, and I'd be like, oh, hey. And it could have been just a neighborhood that I went to go visit a few years ago and I got welcomed into their home. When productions come here, you know, I try to assist them with making sure they do the good neighbor policy when you go into film into these communities because, you know, my communities come first.
Yeah.
That production's going to leave. That community is still there. And so I think because I take pride in making sure that the community is heard, you know, I'll always be welcome.
So speaking of, oh, look at that. I need to get my question. When you,
I'm like, what the hell crawling over there?
No, I had to distract you, man, because that dude's like, wham. So, locations.
Locations.
How can someone develop a directory or something, or is there one?
What's this?
Oh,
stay tuned.
That's something y'all. Oh, yes.
There you go.
Because that's the one thing. I mean, we've been blessed to have some locations here, but like, I would love to have more. Okay. Yes.
Yes.
Is this a part of the fee schedule that you guys are building? Is it like a whole lineup of
this
things
isn't
that you?
Part of it.
This isn't okay. This is something else. Let me shut up.
Yeah,
she got that smile got me excited.
Now, how long am I staying tuned for though? Like,
not long.
Okay, great. Patience, don't have me sell the building and be like, oh, I caused a location. Like,
no,
the next day, right?
No, you shouldn't do that. You should not do that.
Look right there, Stone.
I think that you shouldn't do that. You should just stay patient.
Hang on to it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. Okay. Go ahead.
How community involvement is very important for someone who's in your position, and people don't really know that that's a part of what comes up. Like, are you a part of these groups that are going to these HOA meetings to really build those types of relationships? Or is it just when you know it's coming up, then you get active with it? Like, when did the relationship building happen?
You know, we've been building relationships with our communities for a long time. When I first started, one of the most important jobs we had was going to our NPU meetings, which is our neighborhood planning unit meetings. And we would just let them know that we were here, the office is open. If they had any questions, make sure they, you know, didn't hesitate to give us a call. We would go speak if we knew a big production was coming in, just so that the whole community, if they had any questions, that they could ask them right then and there. The good thing is, you know, when we send out a pending permit, our NPU's presidents get them. And so does our communities and our council members and you name it too. We probably have over 75 to 80 people on a pending permit for downtown, which is zone 5. So we are very engaged, very involved with keeping our communities aware of what's going on. Sometimes when productions want to come and film in a community for a very long time, and I'll take Sherwood Forest. We had Spider-Man, I think Homecoming was there for a while. You know, we went out to the streets with them. and the production meetings. And then, you know, we would out of random just call the, we set up some film liaisons for the communities. Right, and they kind of help the productions maneuver in their community. And they also keep us abreast that, you know, we don't know what's going on every day. Somebody could be getting married or whatever. So at first we would just issue the permits. And I was like, no, it's got to be a better way because I feel like we're not keeping our community involved. And so then when we started setting up film liaisons in the various communities, especially when they're heavy hit communities, they really appreciate it because then they became part of the process.
Right.
Okay. You know, now while they can't say yay or nay to a production coming in, you know, they were heard before we actually released that permit. And then afterwards, you know, we'll call them and say, hey, how's everything going? Or we'll pop up. And just by doing that, they invite us to the HO yearly meetings. Right. We get to talk, break bread with the community. So we're we are really into our community.
I don't even know if this is a pertinent question to really ask, but I'm curious. When you have these conversations with the communities, and they have valid concerns about a production that's coming, whether it's going to be shut down for an extended period of time, or they're going to have one way in, one way out, or you're not going to have access to this community building for 4 days, whatever that is. If there's a valid concern that's come in, is there something that you're able to take to the production company to say, hey, this is actually something that's going to affect something beyond, and it changes production?
Well, I don't take it back to them. We all come to the street together.
Okay.
So I bring that location manager out there or whoever's on their team to help make decisions. We listen to the community concerns, and we always get to a solution.
Okay.
So that's the good thing about it. And, you know, we've had some complex shutting down streets, roads, or whatever, but the community is never at an inconvenience to where they, like, hate it. Or some you know, because if they want your street, if they're going to block it off, you know, they have placards for them to put in their cars so they can come through while the officers are mandating the streets. And if they need your street, then you can best believe that, you know, there is a parking lot somewhere that they'll buy out for the community.
Right.
I make sure that they have APD there, not security, and then have a little go-kart or a shuttle to kind of bring them back and forth.
Yeah.
So it kind of works, you know. L.A., you know, born and raised on it. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't faze us to do a detour. Here, we have to massage our communities a little bit more to get them used to it. Some of them are, some of them aren't, you know. But for the most part, we really try to make them feel welcome. Now, if that community is fatigued or that street is really fatigued, then we have a hotspot list.
Okay.
And we'll just go ahead on and put them on the hotspot for
that's,
a while.
Okay, that's interesting. So I used to live on North and Piedmont when I first moved here in 2012. We were there for 6 years.
Yes.
I had a stack of these little things that would allow me to get home because
something
in the air that's two blocks adjacent from Peachtree down there, and something was always getting shot there for a long time from like 2013 to 2016.
And I'm so glad to say that North doesn't belong to the city of Atlanta.
It doesn't.
That's the G-Dot Road.
It wasn't. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that because that's what the question I was going to ask was like, we started getting fatigued. Like there were certain points where it was like, okay, we can't get out of our gate because they're literally using this block for 5 hours. So it was like, don't come home or or stay in the house.
Yeah.
So that was an important thing. It's like, how do you actually, you said massage our communities. I like how that's done.
We like to massage them. We pay attention to, you know, how many times you've had filming there. And, you know, people come and say, we had it 20 times. We're going to the system. No, you didn't. And this is the last time you had it because we keep we're open records. So we keep a great track. But we do try to massage, and we do, if it's fatigue, we will put it on hiatus for a minute. And because we can't really put a moratorium to say no filming. But we like to tell the production, look, they going to bring it to you because they didn't have so much filming. So you might want to consider going somewhere else or lessen the footprint of that sort.
I got one more for you. I'm going to wrap this up.
No, we're just getting going.
I know we are. My schedule is barking. but there is no rush, honestly. Needs, right? When production companies come to Atlanta or even Georgia, maybe if you know, are there any needs that are here, like when they come, say, man, I wish Atlanta had more of this. I wish that Georgia had more of this. Maybe like sound stages or text or whatever. Are there any opportunities for people in Atlanta to meet the needs of film and production companies that come here?
You know, a lot of productions' needs are crew.
Crew.
They need crew. And we're coming off of a strike. I believe it's done or just about done. And so you can imagine what's getting ready to happen. Everybody's getting ready to come here. And so we're going to get real crowded on the streets. And so most of the time we get our calls, they'd be like, is it enough crew? Do we have enough crew? And when they say crew, I believe it's both below right. and above. I do believe they're going to bring their above the line crew okay. with them a lot of times.
What's below and above the line?
So below the line is like your PAs, okay. your legends okay. and your grips and stuff. And then above is like your UPMs and, you know, like this gentleman right here.
And so where do people go and say, oh, I'd be interested in being on a crew. Like, where do they go to apply for something like that? Or be
so outside of having our Set South PA training program, Georgia Film Academy does a lot of training. With various different colleges around okay. the state of Georgia. And then if you go to the georgia.org website, then they have a place for, I think it's Real Scouts.
Okay.
Yeah, Real Scouts, where you can list your information
of what you are,
which is the same way you can go and list your information, like if you wanted the studio or something
right.
on the...
Good to know.
Be open for.
Good to know.
For filming. So.
Rob Hardy and then they filmed at our house once.
Who did?
Rob Hardy.
Oh, really?
Did y'all talk about the
program? So, I love Rob Hardy.
Yeah. Rob was actually just on here 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. He was on my podcast, too. I'm going to shout it out.
Yeah.
I do film with Cordelia Hunter. Absolutely.
Love the segue, because I was just about to ask you about I Do Film Podcast.
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
So I Do Film Podcast is fun, and I enjoy it, and we just finished up season 2. And we're getting ready to start season 3. But I did this podcast because there are so many talented people in the state of Georgia that we don't know nothing about. You know, and there are so many different jobs when it comes to a film production. And so, of course, I have Rob Hardy on there. I had Terry Vaughn. I had Coke Daniels, who just did The Waterboys. I've had Christian Nolan Jones, who is an up-and-coming, you know, director. He won for his short film, Glitter Ain't Gold, which was really, really dope.
What about Rhonda? Have you had Rhonda in there?
Who?
Rhonda Baraka?
No, I have not.
I bet she's coming next.
I guess she's coming next. Absolutely.
I'll make sure y'all
And you know, and let me tell you, honestly, at first, when, you know, God gave me this vision, I really didn't know where it was going to go. And I can say I'm going to shout out my production teams. They're dope black females that run it for me. And I was just like, you know, Lord, I'm going to do this. But how am I going to get all these people to come on?
Man.
And all of a sudden, I just started getting DMs like, this person should be on, this person should be on, this person should be on. And I was like, okay, cool. And right when I was getting ready to finish season 2, I got a call from a publicist and I said, hey, I have a young lady coming, and she runs the Mahogany.
What's
that? Mahogany Films.
Oh, okay.
Mahogany Carr. She's on the film side. Tony Judkins. And she's the VP over there. And she was like, I need to get her on. And I was like, God, can we get her on? And we got her on in like 2 days.
Nice.
And that kind of, you know, fade out season 2. Mm-hmm. But it was a relationship born out of that. So I'm all about building the relationships, coming on, having a great time. So if you haven't listened to my podcast, you can catch it on all streaming platforms, as well as you can see the video on YouTube. But I love it.
Awesome.
And you know, I'm gonna see where it's gonna go.
Yeah.
What I know is I can't make
it
move the way I want it to move. And so sometimes you have to just put a little bit more money and energy into it. And so I'm definitely gonna get a marketing company to come in and see what they can do.
Stick with it, though.
Yeah.
If I could just say stick with it, only because you're paying attention to the numbers because it's business, right? But You're providing valuable information.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And even if it's just a small group of people that are hanging on your word, to us, they're worth it.
Absolutely.
Stick with it. And in podcasting, two and a half years in, and you ain't seen a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, that ain't nothing.
No.
I've learned.
Yeah.
So we were just like,
you know,
no,
I just love it. I just like to do it.
Right. And we just enjoy doing it. So
I
know what?
That it'll come when it needs to
when
come.
When it comes, it needs to come.
And yeah, and I just finished signing the papers of doing the I Do Film Foundation.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm going to move.
Who set that up? Well, you can tell me that off mic.
Like, I'm going to throw it out there. But yeah. So I have the foundation, and it is going to be programming, of course, but for second chance women.
Nice.
Yes, to get them, different tools to get them into this industry.
You need to link up with Jason Flom on that one.
Okay. Jason. Hey. I'm looking for funding. Grant.
Yeah, you know, Jason.
Grant,
so him and he and Kempler, Jeff Kempler, and I think there's a third person. They have the I forget the name of the program, but it's people who have been wrongly convicted.
Really?
Yeah, and they work to get them released, and they've gotten people that have been in it for 40 years and 45 years, and it's great stories. But there are plenty of women that do that, okay. So I can see how that could be a nice little.
We will connect. Thing.
All right, I'm going to do my rapid fire, but if you have anything else.
No, rapid fire, let's go.
All right, so rapid fire is just five quick questions.
Yeah.
Don't think about it.
I'm not.
Just let me go.
He could, like my this or
now,
that,
because,
right?
Because
he could ask you the most spiritual deep thing he's ever asked. I'm just warning you right now.
Well, I could go there with Dilla, but, you know, I love the shock value stuff, but I'm not going to do that to you because you know it. Tasha. So.
Hey, Tosh.
All right, so real fast, off the top. Mm-hmm. F. Gary Gray or Antoine Fuqua?
Ooh, what?
Ooh, why did you say that one?
We need shots so she can just take a drink and get out of this one. That's cold.
I know, that's both.
Yeah, no, we don't let people slide with that one. And it doesn't mean you
Antoine
like
Fuqua.
Women. Okay, Antoine Fuqua, there we go.
Wait, right. Why? Because I had
just
to pick
I had
one.
To pick one. A comes before F.
There you go.
A comes before F.
I love both of them. All
right, favorite network or streaming series?
Look, All American. Come on, you guys.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, it was good. Don't get me wrong. Okay. Yeah. But you like, come on, you guys. Like, get with it. I'm like,
It's me. It's L.A. It's Crenshaw High. Oh, it's all that other good stuff.
I got you.
Yeah.
All right. Favorite genre of movie?
Favorite genre? I like a little drama, and I like a little love.
Dramatic love.
Love there drama. You go.
Have you checked out
she like toxic
Here I Am
stuff
Now or
saying.
This Is Me Now, the J-Lo joint?
I have not.
I'd be very
it.
Interested.
And I was supposed to go to the premiere and
really?
Two
I'd
or
be
three
very, okay, well you didn't have to sauce on us like that. Okay. But I was excuse me. I just watched it in my living room. But
I'm gonna watch it because I love J-Lo.
I'm very interested because some of the feedback that I'm getting is shocking the crap out of me.
Really?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So well, I would love to know what you thought.
I'm gonna do a follow-up.
I thought it was very well done.
I like J-Lo. Absolutely. So I can't see.
All right, Usher or Chris Brown.
Oh my God.
Come on now, that's easy.
Come on.
It shouldn't be easy.
It's not easy at all.
It's an easy one.
It is not easy.
You take a drink.
If you're trying to play the whole loyalist thing, it's easy, but if you're going to be like
this.
No,
you take a drink. You don't answer this question. She already gave you one, bro. Ain't no more answers.
Sure, Chris Brown.
Gosh. It's not easy to do. Oh, he's going to put the camera on me, too. But I love both. But I love me some Chris Brown.
Hey,
I wasn't expecting that.
I love me some Chris Brown. I love Usher too. Now get me wrong. I am right now rolling in my car right now, listening to Coming Home.
Okay,
and I love it. And then just last week we gave him the Phoenix Award, and you know, Black Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Yep.
But Chris Brown, I said Chris Brown because you're not seeing him all over plaster because he's probably been cut up and shot out of so many different events he can be at, but. Everything he touches a hit. He just keep putting them out and keep putting them out and keep putting them out. And I like him because he didn't move away from it. He stuck to his truth and he kept going. And then I met him because my girl Tina Davis discovered him. And I met him when he was first working over at Patchworks with Jonte Austin when there was no tattoos. There was nothing.
Oh, this was the first one.
It was just,
yes.
Yeah. So.
This is
yo.
Yeah. B. Cox with the whole, the new Prince of R&B.
Running,
shout out and all that stuff. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, and understand, look, there was a time when you loved James Brown. Then you're like, James Brown, Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Then you're like, I don't know, Michael Jackson and Bruno Mars. You're going to lean towards Bruno Mars. I mean, it's just, just like. And Usher ruled it.
Yeah.
And he's killing it.
He's killing it.
Don't
right
get it twisted.
Now. I love him.
I still
definitely one of my top three or four Super Bowl.
I still can't answer that question.
Sure.
I mean, I would have sat here and I'm like, you can have it. Me trying to sit there and fight.
All right. All right. Last one. Favorite part of this year's halftime show? First of all, did you watch it?
Of course I did.
Okay.
I watched the whole game.
You know what?
I'm
just
a football fanatic.
I would try to respect everybody.
So you're going to say the favorite.
Your favorite part. What was your favorite part of that halftime show?
Gosh, the whole thing. I mean, he just came out like, come on, I'm at the roll with Alicia. She came out beautifully with the red on, and you know, everybody loves
I had to look
song.
Away during that part.
Yeah.
But, well, I never asked you that. What was your favorite part?
So, as a production guy, it's real subtle. But the LED lighting on the flooring when they were skating, people don't understand how difficult it is to program that,
now,
and then just how dope it is.
Now, putting plain speak for us common folk, what would be the favorite part of the performance?
Yeah.
Alicia Keys.
Okay. Really? Okay. Yeah.
You know what mine was? I like the guitar. I like the guitar solo from her too.
Oh yeah, not
when
her.
When her came out, yeah. I was like, what? But the way she played and the feeling, I was like, Prince.
Yeah.
Seriously, like
it felt real. Now the one thing I've seen her play with gloves, like Prince and what and Rick James would do, and if she would have done that, that would have did it for me. Yeah. But that's a real close.
Yeah, but that whole show is dope.
Yeah,
the whole show is dope. Awesome.
The game was great.
Mm-hmm. I disagree with that. It got really good.
I was, of course, you know, I was going for the San Francisco 49ers. I'm not that fan of them, but
I wanted Purdy to get the ring.
That's who really wanted to go to, but I'm glad that they gave us a game.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Yeah, it was low on highlights.
Yeah.
But it was a technically great game.
Yeah.
It was a fundamentally great name.
It was mistake-written for me for like two quarters, but that's just...
That's just
who's your team?
That's just me.
So I don't really have a favorite team, but I'm definitely a roll tie. So whoever got the roll tie, so Jalen Hurts, and
I guess I'm
going
to have to start watching more college.
I love college football, and I'm SEC all the way.
I don't get this. I was about to say. So
how? My husband is Alabama.
Okay,
The whole family is roll tie. Okay?
There
it
is.
And so,
well, I hope you guys enjoyed the last 15 years. It's over.
That's a wrap. All right, last thing. This is enough.
My favorite college though is the Grambling State University.
Yeah, we understand
home
the D.
Of
yeah,
the winningest coach, Eddie Robinson.
What's your family? I'm from the Stafford family.
The Grambling.
So check it.
Yeah,
this isn't a rapid fire thing. What are your thoughts on the whole Beyonce country thing?
Ooh.
So I have not had a chance to listen to neither one of the songs. I think that was dropped. But come on, y'all.
Play the record.
We getting ready to go into the month of the women. Mm-hmm. In March. So, whatever she can do, I'm all for it.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Were you asking specifically about the stations that aren't playing it?
No, just overall.
I don't know what stations
There was a scandal thing that happened where like someone called a country station and requested it. And it's a country record. Like, and they said, we don't play Beyonce. I mean, listen, if they played the joints that had Nelly on it when that was the thing.
Yeah.
They can play the Beyonce record.
Absolutely.
But still, they played it.
I'm not hating on it. I'm just saying it's almost like calling rap today hip hop.
No, sure.
You would never hear me do that.
Well, hip hop's a culture anyway. So that's the whole
to my point. But still, they'll be like, yeah, hip hop today. I'm like, stop calling these dudes hip hop. They're not hip hop. So that's why I say country-esque. Because at the end of the day, country is country. There's a genre, there's a skill to it.
So do you feel like you have to be born country to do country?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Absolutely all not. Right. But respect the art and the craft of what country is.
Correct.
Is my whole thing. I'm not saying she's disrespecting. She's just, because music, there's no rules with music. You know what I mean? So if you don't want to call it country,
fine. And she put herself out there.
So I'm not hating on it at all. But I understand why people are like, stop calling that country. Like, I get it. I do get that part. You know what I'm saying? Okay. So it is what it is. So
Nelly, when he performed, was that country? When he performed, what was he performed with? Tennessee?
It was like a remix of a country.
Okay.
That's how I would put it.
Okay. Okay.
But John Schneider can shut the heck up. That's for sure.
Okay.
I can tell you that. Y'all can read on that. Seriously. Yeah. I loved you in Duke House, but you sounded dumb right now.
I got one more.
All of it's black music at the end of the day.
This goes back to you getting into the entertainment industry, coming out of the corporate world.
Yeah.
At some point, a nugget was given to you that helped you transition. And now you've got these platforms that's passing on something else. What would be your thematic moniker that you want to pass on for people who may be crossing over into our world from the, because it happens a lot. People leave corporate and dabble into this a lot, but they don't know what they're getting into. So what is that thing that you want them to come into this with, just knowing?
To just have an open mind. It might not go the way you want it to go, but just know that relationships are everything. So as you're out there trying to figure out if this is the place you want to be in the entertainment industry, relationships are everything. Keep your mouth closed, you know,
and
don't talk because somebody else do this or over there. Just get to know people, be genuine. If it's something you know, let them know. If it's something you don't know, don't lie and say you know it. What you do is say, I don't have that answer right now, but I promise to get back with you, and then keep your word and get back to it.
But one thing I've heard you say the entire time is, once you're in your position, play your position.
Play your position.
To the best of your ability.
To the best of your ability.
Yeah.
Do not look to the right or the left. Because if you look to the right or the left to see what other people got, you're going to be mad.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be upset. You're going to mess up the blessings that God have for you.
I was just going to say, you done quoted the Bible. They don't even know it. On the low.
On the low.
Where can they find you, Cardelia Della Hunter?
Yeah. So you can find me on all platforms under Cardelia Hunter. period.
Oh.
You and you can I have website. A website.
Yes.
CardeliaHunter.com. I have idofilmpodcast.com. I am on YouTube. I do film with Cardelia Hunter.
And all that can be found on CardeliaHunter.com. Can you spell Cardelia, please?
Please, yes. Cardelia. CardellA.
Yeah, because I've known you and I always put one L all the time. And
it's two L's. Yes, two I'm, the L's. I'm the only Cardelia on right. IG.
Well, we are so part of the same club.
We are.
If you want anything regarding me,
yes,
StoneStafford.com.
Yes.
Okay, we're taking applications, so go ahead, sir.
Just Johnny Von, JustJohnnyVan, yes, all Von. Over the stuff. That, all of that was
yeah,
just
not dot com, not dot com. Just you got to go to each
taking,
platform and do Just Johnny Von.
Right, exactly. Where you from?
Jacksonville, Florida.
Jacksonville, Florida. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, went there too. Yeah. Went to a little football game. Yeah.
Watch this. Watch this. Trenton, New Jersey.
Yeah, I've been there too.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Come on, man.
That's great.
Come on.
But people don't be going to Trenton, bro. I'm sorry. Yeah. If they do, they'll be like, oh, yeah, I've been on the train station.
I think I sent you a picture the last time I passed the sign when I was going through. Yeah, there's nobody spends time there.
Yeah, no one spends time
that's
there.
It's okay.
Yo, we appreciate y'all. We love you so much. Thank you so much
thank
for coming
you, thank
on.
You,
this
thank
was very valuable. We're going to have you back.
Time.
Maybe
have
we can do a co-podcast.
We should
make that work.
We should blow it out the water.
Appreciate it. All right. Thank y'all for your love and support. To help us get to that 1 million subscribers, the only way you got to do is this: hit that bell, like, subscribe, tell a friend. Word of mouth is so powerful. In the meantime, we love you. We'll see you next time. Peace.
Peace.